I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace of God given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honour. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honourable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Hi, it's great to be together. Happy birthday, Euston Church. I was reminiscing, just remembering that after the very first 5 p.m. service we put on, I was out with Cranson, our treasurer, who you just saw there. And the Bibles are all back in the car, the music kit loaded back in. We had a kind of whew. And then there was this dawning realization that this wasn't a one-off event that we'd all put on there, but this was going to be every single Sunday from then on. And I brought a picture just to show you what Cranston and me looked like back then. There you go. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking he's aged. And you're right, that's right, Cranston has aged. Cranston has definitely aged. But here we are 520 Sundays later, and it's not very long really in the life of churches, but it's a moment to give thanks to God for all that he has done. And it's a moment to re-energize all of us in our shared mission. Our mission as a church is summed up in reaching out with the good news, and then building one another up in the gospel before we're then sent out into mission. And I hope that whether it's week one or week 521 for you, that this will be a very important and helpful thing for you to be reminded of. We've gone through each of those in the last three Sundays: reach, build, and today, send. And I wonder what comes to mind when you hear that word send. Sent on a church plant, maybe? Sent into mission? I think we've got a picture to show you of Alex and Sarah. They're on the right. They're our mission partners in Belgium. Sarah was part of the original group here, and we support them now as they run the Christian Union movement in Belgium. It's tiny, really, compared to student unions here. That's the entire staff team for the whole of the country. And they're rejoicing that they've even got that number of people, because it's new for them this year to have that many on their team. They're thrilled that more workers means they can start doing student work in more cities. Sent to the mission field, sent as a ministry trainee, some of those in that picture. Well, yes, sent is about those things, but being sent is about something more fundamental, more universal. It's about all of us, if you're a believer, because God commissions all of his people into ministry. He commissions you. And you can see that really all the way through this passage, as verse 1 tells us to be a living sacrifice. In verse 6, having gifts, use them. Verse 11, again, all of us serve the Lord. To be a minister is to be a servant, is what the word means. And this is point 1 for today. Let me read verses 1 and 2 to us. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is a really big moment in Romans. It's a big therefore, therefore. In view of his mercy, having been built up in that, if you like, for 11 chapters, go and live like this, therefore. It's a global moment, this, as the futile thinking and misdirected worship of Romans 1 that ruined the world are totally reversed. Renewed thinking, acceptable worship. And it's a Jew-Gentile moment as well. See, Israel's misdirected religion and zeal that have just been the issue in Romans 9 to 11, they are replaced in this passage with the real thing. Show them true religion, if you like. See if you can't wake them up in their jealousy of how good it looks. And not just Israel. Paul has the nations in mind in Romans. Show the world the goodness and the glory of God, not just in what you know about Jesus, but in a life lived in sacrificial service. If you are looking in on us today, you're not just supposed to hear a theory. You're supposed to see it lived. I love the story about a lady called Patty. 4 years ago, she almost choked to death in the dinner canteen of her retirement home in America. But it just so happened that Patty lived in the same retirement home and happened that night to be sitting next to Dr. Henry Heimlich of The Maneuver. And apparently, in all his years of theorizing and speaking about the Heimlich maneuver, it was only at that moment, age 96, that he actually got to use his move in a real emergency. I love that story. It's beautiful, isn't it? But it would have been a bit rubbish if he'd forgotten how to do it. Or when, "Pah, I just wrote the book. I don't expect me to actually help you in practice." And it would be rubbish, wouldn't it, if Christianity was like that. We've got this great theory called the gospel. Really explains the world brilliantly. 11 chapters of it in Romans so far. But you actually expect me to live it out? Yes, that's the plan. God's growth strategy is to change the world by changing you. Verse 2, be transformed. That's actually the phrase used about Jesus at the Transfiguration. Do you remember that incident in the Gospels where he was suddenly shining and glorious? Be transformed in such a way that we shine for him. Notice in the verses here, most religion starts with sacrifice in the hope that God will have mercy. In Jesus, it's completely the other way around. God has shown you mercy, therefore live like this. Note the language of religious service all over verses 1 and 2. We're in the temple. The priest is offering a sacrifice on my behalf. There's acceptable worship being delivered. This is actually just one of the places in the New Testament where all those ideas are carried over into the gospel and applied directly to the people of God. See, you actually entered religious service when you became a Christian. Next time someone asks you what you do, I dare you to say, I'm a minister of religion. You're not going to do it, are you? I dare you to do it. Because if they then say, when did that start? You say, when I became a Christian. I am the holy place, if you like. Remember us as the temple, 1 Peter? I'm one of the ones who makes the offerings, us as the royal priesthood. And specifically here, I lead the worship. There's a take on a familiar idea. Ord's reminded us of the old line, we're all the ministers of Euston Church. We're all the worship leaders of it as well. Because all of that religious stuff that symbolized God's presence and God's glory in the Old Testament, where do you see it? Where do you see the glory of God shining in that way in the world today? Where do you find true worship? Actually, in ordinary believers offering their bodies, their whole selves, not just in a church meeting, but 24/7 in his service. Notice how radical these lives are, not conformed to this world. Notice it doesn't begin with behavior, a new mind shaped and built up by the gospel of grace that humbles me and sets me free from my bondage to serve the Lord. That then in the big decisions and the daily detail, we'll be asking, what is the will of God? How can I please the one who has had mercy on me? That's real religion. It's a religious calling that we've all been commissioned to in the gospel. I was at a meeting recently where we were thinking with other partner churches about how we might commission and plant more churches, commission more people into being ministry trainees. And we really want to do more of that work under God in the next 10 years. But that should just be the tip of the iceberg of a whole church family commissioned at the end of every single meeting, sent out to be something holy that looks radically non-conforming to the world, to live lives that are pleasing to him. Do you want to please God? Not to earn his favor, you could never do that. His mercies, remember. That he has purposes for you as a saved person. I wonder, what are your dreams, your ambitions for this next phase of your life? Do you know, in my first week at university, someone asked me what my ambition for my life was. Quite intense, isn't it, for Freshers' Week? But it's a great question, and I wonder, are you ambitious to be a fresher in God's service, pleasing him in that new job, in the way you do family life, in the way you fill in your tax return? This is everything. Are we ambitious for the next phase of Euston Church? Well, I hope that means we're ambitious to be a generation of 24/7 truly spiritual worshippers. Point two starts to ground what it will mean to please him in that way. This is verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith he has been assigned. Again, it begins with thinking of yourself in light of who you are now. Who you are now is verse 5. We, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. In many ways, the mindset of central London is all about me, isn't it? More freedom, more choice, more independence to fulfill my dreams and purposes. Christians are members of one another. It's a bit like I'm your arm and you're a big toe and Sam's one of your ears. Strange image, but it produces very radical behavior when people think like that, because it means they know they need each other and that others need them. Let me just apply it into the small group. It means if you don't turn up, it's like there's a limb missing. We sometimes send that message afterwards saying, we missed you tonight. Maybe we should say, we were a dismembered group tonight because you weren't there. It's humbling to need other people. And it's dignifying of every member ministry, literally every body part needed. I was just thinking how it was relatively easy at the start of Youth and Church to see that we would have to function that way if we were going to thrive as a little body. You saw it in the photos, all hands to the pump. Great diversity of gifts. I love the picture of Ed looking delighted to be in charge of the buttons. And it may, though, be harder as the church grows to feel like there's a place for me here, that they would need my contribution. Many of us naturally feel we have nothing to contribute. Do we think God is lying in his word here? Because nobody is a nobody in the body of Christ. Sober judgment about myself will neither be proud nor self-despairing, because we all have gifts, verse 5, that each other need. Now that list you can see in verse 5 is not suggesting that everyone only has one. Actually, when you look at those highlighted gifts, most of us are told in other places to express those things in various ways, but we can have different intensities of teaching and contributing, and there's a diversity in them. And I'm looking back with thanks for prophets here. That's the speaking the truth in love to one another. For teachers, not just in the small groups, but of children, of people up in the estate helping with London City Mission. Servants who spot practical needs. Those with a heart to serve the street population. Bold walk-up evangelists. Tom's been telling me about some of them just this week. And the diversity in our mission partners. You know, Rachel in Asia with Wycliffe Bible Translators has management gifts that she uses with them. Nathan in the mission hospital using his medical skills as well as his teaching gifts. Obviously being sent really will mean being sent out to serve for many of us, serving the wider body of what God's doing in the world. But us needing the range of gifts to function well will mean some people staying long-term here as well. You know, some people hear us say send and think it means we want you all to leave. No, sent into service by staying. Thank you for those of you who are doing that. And the main point here is really verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. It's not about your potential or your fulfillment. It's not about you at all in that sense. It's about the body. Don't panic if you can't pinpoint your gifts. Usually it's better just to get stuck into serving. And what we usually find is as you serve the small group and church and other ministries more widely, it becomes apparent over time what your gifts would tend to be. And maybe we need to be better at encouraging one another in our gifts, so that we know to keep using them, reminding each other they're from God, they're for our whole benefit, not mine. I was remembering that some people who've come and gone in the church family, and even though they've known that they were only going to be here for a short time, and some of you watching this, I know this morning, have felt part of the family when they've just got stuck in, even for 1 year or even for 6 months, and served and been served by the body. So get stuck in quickly. Can I encourage you if you're new? I suppose you should feel a bit like an arm showing up and saying, hey, I'm just an arm. You got any legs in there? Or some ears that you could attach me to? And I was saying to you, another arm, brilliant. That's just what we need. Come and be part of the family. And then finally, loving without frontiers. I love the way that this chapter goes, because it makes it clear that it's not a functional thing, serving the body, and that people who want to please God in a life of worship should be driven by love. Did you notice how high the bar keeps getting here? It's extraordinary. As you go on into verse 9, your love's to be genuine, not just warm and friendly to the newcomer the first time they show up. It's brotherly affection. We don't have blood ties, but family love. And I want to say sorry to you if you feel like we failed you as a family. There will have been ways that has happened. But we know what we need to recommit ourselves to. Verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. In other words, it's the opposite of it's all about me. Let's make it more about you, listening to you, really honoring your contribution and thanking you for all that you do. This love doesn't lack zeal, verse 11. I wonder, have you got a bit slothful in service of others during lockdown? To be honest, it's very hard to stay zealous in any time for an extended period. It's all very well for one Sunday or one year, but to carry on serving God's purposes in the world decade after decade, give me strength. Well, he has. Notice the reminder, be fervent in spirit. We have God's spirit to help us walk according to the spirit. And if you want to keep serving the Lord, as end of verse 11 tells us to do, then you need to do what verse 12 says as well. Keep rejoicing in hope. Do you want a top tip if you want to fall away from the gospel? The top tip is not stop serving or going to church straight away. That would draw too much attention and other people might get involved to get you back on track. Now, if you want to really make sure you do long-term spiritual damage, just quietly stop rejoicing in the hope of the gospel. Stop being thankful for the blessings that you have in Christ. And you'll need to try really hard to zone out of the singing and the Bible times at church, because there's just a danger if you engage that you may be having your heart rewarmed in joy once again. And eventually you'll just become the shell of a Christian exterior. You won't even notice it yourself the day you stop being a believer. Now, it's been gutting when people that we saw in the pictures earlier have gone that way over the last 10 years. Will Euston Church still be on fire in 10 years' time? Will we still be rejoicing in our hope, is the question. Will we still believe that God is good? And I thank him so much for people who've done things mentioned here, verse 12, who, because they've rejoiced in their hope, have patiently endured tribulation, who prayed big. Let's keep praying big for God to be at work. People who've contributed, thank you. People who've shown hospitality to the newcomer. It's really interesting that this has coincided with the place we find ourselves now as a church. It was pioneer time 10 years ago, and it feels like pioneer time in a way now, as we basically, for a COVID world, we'll need to find a new generation of people who will plant new services and be new welcomers and help us work out how to show hospitality with a rule of six. See, being a 24/7 living sacrifice in worship to God is beautiful, but it is a sacrifice. It can hurt. It can get you persecuted. We didn't get to that in chapter 12. This love has no boundaries that it even loves enemies. How do you do that? Sent out to sacrifice and sweat and suffer. Yes, even commissioned to suffer. All of which is to say commissioned to be like Jesus, isn't it? And it's just obvious. If we're going to shine in the world, if we're going to please God, the ways to be like him. Did you notice Jesus isn't mentioned much in our chapter, but his fingerprints are all over it? someone whose love was genuine when people didn't deserve it, who welcomed the lowly, that's us, into the heart of his family, who blessed those who persecuted him, overcame evil with good every time, a human being who has outdone us all in showing honour and generosity and humility and affection and love. Jesus is the hero of Euston Church and every church. And that's why today we're saying to him, be the glory.